You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick.
Hey, your Johnson rod needs some more tugging.
Hey, yo.
And Maddie Rose.
Put him down on the table, and she's like, oh, all she'll ever say is, oh, God, this is tight.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, hi there. Hour number two. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by mortgages2go.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgages2go.ca. BNS, Ben Nicholson-Smith from Sportsnet on the Blue Jays, and Vlad Jr. dropping the most routine throw ever to first base. That cost him the win last night. At the top of the hour, the chronolist himself, Mr. Brent Cron, Big Show Flames analyst, in studio.
I mean, what can I say? I just missed the ball, period.
Yep, it's true.
You know, he thought he was going to catch it.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
He looks...
He thought he was going to catch it.
They just showed the highlights again. He looked like Mr. Sad Pants in the dugout, too.
Yeah, he should.
He's been bad.
Yeah, Mr. Sad Pants.
Wake up.
I can hit a ball 110 kilometers an hour into the ground. Sure.
Every time he plays
there's
a game,
one thing I hate.
Sonic rings.
There's one thing I hate is when StatCast came out. Oh, he hit that ball this hard. It's like, who cares? They all hit it hard. They're Major League Baseball players.
I would hope they hit it
hard. A lot of them hit it really hard. Oh, Vlad, you know, third highest in the StatCast era. Great. He just pounds it into the ground for a double play.
He's good for a 450 every 2 weeks.
He's roping that thing right to the shortstop so they can turn two. From the Vlad Jr. drop to the incredible save by Sergei Bobrovsky last night on Matt Dumba, which is the topic that we're giving away tickets for. And if you don't think that Bobrovsky save was the greatest save you've ever seen
in your life,
you're wrong, bro. And you should delete your account, and you should get canceled, and you should probably lose your job, and nobody should probably hear from you again, because that's the greatest save you've ever seen in hockey, and it's over. The discussion is over. It's the best save ever. That's it. Done. Canceled, if you don't agree with that. You're canceled. Nobody should hear from you again. Don't ask questions, idiot. It's the best save in the history of the National Hockey League. And if you disagree, delete your account and go away forever because you're done. Your friends, your family, gone. Canceled.
Just let them go. Just let them.
Somebody turning in
let them get it out.
Would just be like if they just turn the radio on and be like, what the hell is going on? They wouldn't have any contact.
You just got to let them get it out. You just got to let them go.
Yeah.
Great save.
It was a great save. So Matt Dumba last night, he was stoned more than blank last night. 960, name and location. We're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to watch Team Canada hammer Team Japan. Suck on that, Team Japan. On May 4th, we're bringing the noise at Winsport for the 2024 World Paralympic Hockey Championship. Why are you laughing?
No, just Japan.
Cheering for Canada.
Japan catching strays.
Eat that, Japan. We're asking you, Matt Dumba was more stoned than blank last night. 960, name and location. We're giving away tickets. So we're giving away tickets to this. And then at 8:30, we're giving away tickets to Arkells, not the Arkells. Because if you say that, you're canceled, bro. Losing your job.
It's a lot of yelling.
Arkells.
It's a lot of yelling.
Tickets to Arkells in November. And you can beat the box office.
New album out. Laundry pile. They have a new album out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Hamilton's own.
Yes. Max Kerman and,
Mike DeAngelis, Nick Dica.
And Nick Nurse are big pals.
Nick Nurse has been
on stage with them.
Yeah.
They put on a really good show.
Oh, yeah.
Last time they came through, you're like, you know a lot of their songs. Then you're like, this is a sing-along song. Okay, great.
There you go. And we're giving away tickets to that. How awesome is that?
Also great, just good summertime listening, frankly.
That's a good point.
On the golf course?
In November.
Little leather jacket?
Yeah. Mm. We're giving away tickets to that. Brent Cron's going to help us pick the winner at 8:30.
Always good. He loves it.
And I'm thinking I have a weird topic that I want to do today.
Can't wait.
A weird topic.
Yeah, good.
But don't you think for a second.
Yeah, I won't.
That Bobrovsky save was the greatest save you've ever seen last night on social media. Best ever.
Okay.
Done.
Good.
Stop watching hockey if you don't think that's the case, idiot.
What do we got on the text line? 960-960.
Idiot.
Name and
Taylor
location.
In Lethbridge.
Okay.
Dumba was stoned more than Sean Avery showing up to Dion's engagement party.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
What? Okay, that's what? Okay. What? That was okay.
You didn't say the thing.
That's a perfect George Russick text because you're skating the line.
Yeah.
You didn't go over it completely. Yeah. You just, maybe your toe was
offside.
You didn't
say blood on the Heisman.
Yeah. You don't.
Like some of my talking about.
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you mean.
Blood on the rubber. Blood on the Heisman.
I don't know what you mean. Sometimes your toe's offside. Jeez. It's okay.
I was 2 feet in.
Was that Taylor?
That's a good catch.
Yeah, Taylor. It's a college catch.
It's a college catch. 1 foot in.
Yeah. It's in the NFL catch, sorry. Not a college catch.
No, we need
one.
An NFL catch.
Yeah, 2 feet in and possession. Okay, keep going.
Kurt in Cochrane. Dumba was stoned more than the three college's students pulled over by Ramothorn and Rabbit. Now he's got to smoke the whole bag. Right meow.
Right meow. Super Troopers.
Okay.
Isn't that with mushrooms?
Is it with mushrooms or what?
Or is it cannabis that
I think
he
it's
eats?
Weed.
Is it weed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Why would you just... Yeah, actually, okay.
All right.
Paul in Chestermere. Matt Dumba was stoned harder than Charlie Sheen during his Tiger Blood era.
That was an era.
Yeah. That was a tough one. Yeah, Charlie Sheen really...
When he was winning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Winning.
And apparently the show he had in Toronto was the worst. People were like, what are we doing here? Like, he's just sitting here.
Oh, and he became like the world's biggest Blue Jays fan, according to the internet?
Yeah.
By winning.
Well, I know him and Brett Michaels from Poison. They once like bought an entire outfield to catch a home run ball, and then no home runs were hit that game.
That's at Rogers Center?
No. Oh. They did it like, I think it was like an Angels game or something.
That's funny.
They literally bought like two entire sections by themselves so they could catch a home run ball, and the ball never got hit there.
Yeah. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's like just from the origin.
Listen, nobody is worse than Zach Hample, who I've interviewed. Zach Hample's the worst.
That's the guy who goes around and just elbows kids and then...
Yeah.
He manhandles children so we can get balls and sell them.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
And he also has a business where like, oh, if you go with Zach Hample, you'll catch a ball at a baseball game. You know where the rub is? You know where the ruse is?
He gets half the ball?
He's putting the wool over your eyes? You know how he's bamboozling you? You know how he's tricking you?
Like, how?
He goes to batting practice.
Oh.
When the guys are hitting dingers nobody's business.
Oh, yeah. You caught a ball. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And he has a giant rubber ball that's like 8 meters by 8 meters or something.
The loser.
He became a little bit more prominent during the judge.
Well, no.
Because he caught one of them? Because I remember him being part of something that was not.
Listen,
good.
I mixed it up with him on the air because I said no real adult brings a glove to a game.
That's fair.
Because you have to catch it with your bare hands like a real man. Because I don't know how many times I've been to a baseball game and I've seen somebody with a glove, an adult male, drop a ball with a glove. You might as well just throw that thing in the trash when you're done. You actually brought your glove to the game. Somehow, miraculously, the ball gets hit your way, and then you drop it. Throw that thing in the garbage. You should have a beer in one hand and your bare hand in the next. Like you're playing cricket, and you catch that ball with your bare hand. And even if you're more of a boss, you have a baby in the hand, too. So you got a baby, a beer, and you're catching a ball simultaneously. You're a king among men, then.
Use your hat, though. Be all right.
Yeah, that never worked because it could explode off your hat.
That's
bare hand that thing.
Yeah, you use your hat, you're going to end up looking like Vladdy at first.
Like, you're going to a Blue Jay game this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way you should bring a glove to that game. Catch it with your damn bare hand,
you
got to
carry around a glove around downtown Toronto then.
I'm going to be doing 999 challenge. I'm not going to be able to.
You'd be too greased to worry about a baseball glove.
You got to get value dog to save the money. Because if you get the big expensive dog, you're gonna be out of money quick.
We're going on a loony dog.
There you go. That is the value dog. They just make it a loony.
The boys
$5 everywhere else.
The boys had a little bit of a plan.
So there's two things you've learned on today's edition of the Big Show with Russick.
I don't think
and Rose.
I've learned crap.
No, no. This is what you've learned.
Okay.
Number one, if you're an adult male, you should never bring a glove to a game.
Okay, I feel like I knew that.
Yeah, GVP, you completely agree with that take, right?
Yeah, catch it with the beer or your hand.
Thank you. Yeah. catch it with the beer, then the ball is in the beer, and then you subsequently immediately chug that beer.
Yes.
Right. Number two, if you don't think that Bobrovsky's save was the greatest save you've ever seen, you're done. Never turn on your TV again. You're canceled. Delete your account. Get fired from your job. Get completely off the grid. Done.
We're being rational this morning.
We got a lot of text to get to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Steve and Cedebray. Matt D was stoned more than Jeff Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Spicoli.
Spicoli, but yeah.
Spicoli!
Texty had a tough one with that one.
Brad from Thorncliffe. Stoned more than Seth Rogen on a 10-day trip to Amsterdam.
Okay. It's not bad.
There's going to be a lot of celebrities.
These are just like celebrities that I identify with marijuana. This is good.
Brad in Airdrie. Dumba was stoned more than Vladdy in the fifth last night.
Okay, I think we got a clubhouse leader.
Right around the fifth.
That was Brad.
That's probably when the gummies started to set in, actually. You take them right at the start of the game.
Okay.
Usually, you know what? Never mind.
All right.
Mike in Calgary. Stoned more than Cheech and Chong.
All right, that's an old school reference. I got it.
Because they smoke weed.
Yeah. Is Willie Nelson in this, too?
Yes, he is, actually.
Okay, play it.
Good.
Sean in Calgary. More than Willie Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
And there's
that guy's 90.
Nothing else after it.
He's still going strong. Yeah. 90.
There's also Snoop Dogg.
Of course.
Karen in Calgary. Dumba stoned as Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Do you really, like...
There's also an Afro Man from Wedley. I didn't see that.
No, but we know we don't play Wedley because he can't win.
He can't win.
Mm-hmm. And Wedley, if you don't think that Bobrovsky saved last night, you got any more?
Greg in Chaparral. Matt Dumba was more stoned than my brother on April 20th at 4:20 p.m.
Okay.
My brother.
His brother, not him.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, my brother.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm just asking for a friend.
Wink, wink.
All right. How many more?
Daryl.
You got one more.
Okay.
Daryl in Calgary. More stoned than Tommy Chong at his Crescent Heights High School reunion.
Okay. I like the Brad one about here. Vladdy.
Yeah, I like Brad and Vladdy.
Okay, play the Brad Vladdy one.
Brad in Airdrie. Dumba was stoned more than Vladdy in the fifth last night.
Congratulations, Brad and Airdrie. You get to go see Canada kick Japan's ass at the 2024 World Para Ice Hockey Championships down at Winsport. You're going on the Saturday, May 4th matchup against Japan. Suck on that, Japan. Canada's coming after you. And Brad and Airdrie's going to that game. And don't forget, on Friday, one lucky listener will win the grand prize of 4 tickets to the gold medal game on May 12th.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I think at 8 o'clock, when Mr. Brent Cron's in studio, we'll unleash the topic for the Arkells tickets. Arkells tickets. Oh my God, I said the Arkells.
You know what you got to go do?
I'm canceled.
You got to go run in front of the train now.
That's it. Because I don't think the Bobrovsky save was the best ever. I just go throw myself in front of that train.
That's a penalty.
It's over for you.
Those are the rules.
Canceled.
Those are the rules of the big show. There you
canceled.
Go. Out in front of the train. Too
leaving.
Bad.
It's going.
Okay, next one. So Arkells. So we have tickets for Arkells coming up. And you know what else is coming up?
It's on a good schedule. It keeps moving early on this hour.
You'll every 5 minutes.
Get real quick.
Every 5 minutes.
No problem. Yeah. You'll be
boom,
good.
Boom, boom, boom.
Train.
Another one just went by.
Ben Nicholson Smith on Frustrating Vladdy. And Yayrod. Starting tonight. Exciting stuff.
Can't believe they stole that from me.
Hopefully you can get more than 5 innings out of them.
Yeah.
That's fine. They got long arm Bowden Francis.
Stretch him out.
Look at that weird little duster he's got.
Stretch him out.
Bad haircut.
Yep. All right. BNS next, Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's a Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Top of the hour, the Chronalist himself, Big Show Flames analyst, Mr. Brent Cron in studio. 8:30, we're giving away Arkells tickets before you can buy them at Friday morning.
10 Mountain Time, Ticketmaster.ca. We got them for free coming up at 8:30. We'll unleash that text topic with Mr. Brent Cron at the top of the hour. We'll do that. But first, the Blue Jays had an interesting game last night to discuss. Our pal Ben Nicholson-Smith, Blue Jays writer, Sportsnet.ca. You hear him on the At the Letters podcast. Does a great job covering the Toronto Blue Jays on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. BNS, how are you, my man?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Probably better than Vlad Jr. This morning. I know it's a long season. It's a grind. 162 games. But, man, last night was tough to watch, wasn't it?
It really was. I mean, that's a play that any professional first baseman has to make. Honestly, it just wasn't a difficult play. Like, it's just a routine play, and he needs to catch that ball. And so that would be the case even in a game that the Blue Jays won by 10 runs. But as it turned out, that error led to the only 3 runs that Kansas City would score, all unearned, and it made the difference in the game. So it was incredibly costly, as well as an error that any professional first baseman would not want to make.
How much does that affect, do you think, his because, again, even at the dish last night, 0-5, 2 strikeouts, that play, how much do you think that affects him at the plate?
You know, I don't necessarily think that it's going to have a huge impact going forward. I think that in the immediate aftermath, he came up the next inning, and I believe he struck out that next at-bat. I wouldn't be surprised if it impacted him, you know, for a 10-minute period after the error. But I think, you know, he was able to regroup and adjust relatively quickly. We did see him hit a ball 110 miles an hour yesterday as well. So I don't think it's necessarily an offensive concern, but there's just no excuse. He has to make that play. It's an easy play. No one in the Blue Jays clubhouse is saying otherwise. Like, it's not like, oh, it was hard to see because of the lights, or it's not like, oh, you know, but you know, it was actually kind of difficult because he had to stretch. No, this was just a routine play that he messed up.
Ben, how frustrating is it when fans just hear how hard he hits the ball? Like, that's the one thing that's always, you know, top 5 in the StatCast era of hard hit balls. And some of them are just directly into the ground, and some of the plate appearances and his approach maybe isn't what they should be, especially the last couple seasons. Like, is that something that's so overrated and maybe kind of rolled into how frustrating Vlad Jr. can actually be sometimes?
I personally don't think so. Just because, end of the day, you really want to be hitting the ball hard in Major League Baseball. And if you look at Ohtani or Judge or the best hitters in the game, Ellie De La Cruz, they hit the ball incredibly hard. Now, I agree with you that hitting it hard on the ground is not that impressive and not that useful, but if you hit it hard in the air, you're just going to be a great player. It's a fact. So if Vladdy's hitting it hard in the air, then that's a good thing. And, you know, last night it ended up being caught, the ball got knocked down, but 9 times out of 10, you hit the ball 110 miles an hour, you're going to have an extra base hit.
Is there any thought about, because, you know, like we just talked about, the base hits are not necessarily there, the extra base hits. Is there any thought about moving him anywhere in the lineup? Have we reached that point yet?
You know, it's interesting. Even before this came up yesterday, even before the 0-for-5 and the error, the topic of the batting order came up before the game with John Schneider. And, you know, this is a batting order that collectively hasn't done well. I mean, they're not hitting right now. And so we were asking John Schneider, hey, would you consider moving some things around? And his answer was he wants to give it a month at least before he starts getting reactive with a bunch of this stuff. So I think that the short answer is no, we're not going to see the Blue Jays shuffle things around. But it's interesting, too, because as I've thought about this myself, you kind of start to wonder, okay, well, if you bump Vladdy from the top of the order, and let's say you put him 7th for argument's sake, well, then who's hitting 2nd or 3rd? And the same thing with George Springer, if you bump him from leadoff. Now, I actually think it's probably time for the Blue Jays to really start thinking seriously about bumping George Springer. You know, just getting creative with it. It doesn't mean you can't move him back to leadoff. And I know he had a good game last night, but, you know, it does bring up the question of then who does hit higher in the order? Because the reality is, this just isn't a team that has a lot of guys producing the way they should be right now.
Yeah, I saw in our stat pack today from Dan Santos that George Springer is one of five qualified batters that with more walks than strikeouts. But is he having a good season? How much more do we need to see from Springer?
I would say he's not having a good season. I would say, yeah, and again, well, no, it's a long season. There's time for him to rebound. But at this moment, definitively, no, he is not having a good season. He just isn't hitting for a lot of power. And so the OPS entering play yesterday was in the 500s. The batting average was in the 100s entering play yesterday. And again, he got a couple hits, and that's a good step in the right direction. But they need to see more power from Springer. I mean, he's a guy historically who has hit 30-plus home runs. Never done it with the Blue Jays, but he did do that with the Astros. That's one of the reasons he signed the biggest contract in Blue Jays franchise history. So, yeah, they don't need him just to be a slap singles hitter who grinds out a tough at-bat. They do want to see him hit some leadoff home runs. And again, that still could happen, but has not been happening so far this year.
How does Justin Turner continue to get it done at this point of his career?
So incredible.
Yeah, it's impressive, right? Because if you were going to enter this season, you might say, okay, well, this guy's 39 years old. What's the confidence level that he can actually do anything? And here we are a few weeks in. He's really showing that he has something left. And they've needed every single one of those hits, every one of those doubles and, you know, singles. He just kind of reaches the bat out and pokes it over the infield. It's an incredible feel for what pitchers are trying to do to him. He can foul off tough pitches. He can take pitches that he can't do damage on. He's just got a great plate approach, good contact skills, and they've needed that because, as we've been talking about, guys, like, this is just a team that doesn't have a lot of pieces clicking offensively, and Turner has been one that has made a huge difference for them.
I know the term professional at bat gets thrown around way too much during baseball broadcasts, but man, you watch Justin Turner, those are professional at bats.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of at bats that you could show a hitter in college, or you could show a hitter in the minor leagues and say, look, he is going up there with a plan. He is going up there with an understanding of how pitchers are going to try to attack him. And look, that's great as a starting point, but he can pair that with the ability to make a good swing. And he's had that for years now. I mean, really consistent for 10-plus seasons in the major leagues at a high level. And it's just really tough to do, but he looks like a really good pickup for the Blue Jays. And, you know, they need some other guys to kind of start stepping up and reaching that level pretty soon.
Well, on that same vein, is kind of the reason why a lot of teams maybe weren't that interested in Kevin Kiermaier, that maybe age is catching up to him now, unlike it is with Justin Turner, and maybe this slow start to his year is kind of an indication why maybe other teams didn't want him and eventually made his way back to Toronto?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, in both cases, I can see, you know, we're likely to see them normalize their results. You know, Turner's not going to be one of the best hitters in baseball, and nor is Kevin Kiermaier going to be one of the worst. But he did leave last night's game with some left hip discomfort. That's never a good sign. And offensively, yeah, he's done nothing. He's hit the ball on the ground way too much. He just has not been a contributor offensively. And again, this is a guy going into the season, you're expecting him to be your number nine hitter. You're not expecting a lot, but you want him to hit a few into the gap, get the legs moving, get a, you know, a single here, a walk there, and, you know, turn on the jets and get a double once every few games. But he just hasn't been able to do that. So yeah, it's been a disappointing start. I don't think every other team in baseball forecasted this by any stretch for Kevin Kiermaier. And he remains an elite defender. I mean, there's no question what he can do defensively, but if he wants to justify the playing time, he's got to find ways to do some more at the plate. And that starts with health, but they're going to need to find more results offensively if he's going to be in the lineup on a regular basis.
Dalton Varsho has been so much fun to watch over the last 11-ish games, I want to say, since he got that first home run against the Rockies. Is there a happy medium between the first 10 games of the season and kind of the rest that we've seen in the last 10 games? Or what do you think Dalton's going to be for the rest of the year?
I think there can be a happy medium. And you look back at 2022, his final season with the Diamondbacks, he had 27 homers, played great defense. I kind of think that that's a reasonable template. And obviously he can do more. We've seen that in the last couple of weeks, that there's a lot of upside there. But let's say he settles into a guy who hits 25 to 30 homers and plays the kind of defense that he can play. That's a really good player. I mean, last year he hit 20, right? And, you know, he struggled offensively, but you throw in 5 to 10 more, that's all of a sudden a guy who's an all-star. I mean, it's a really, really good player. So I do think there's a happy medium there. I think he can reach it. And I expect, based on what we've seen from him this season, that we're going to see more of that, that version of Varsho in 2024 than we did in his first season with the Jays.
How important is it for Danny Jansen to stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean, they need it, right? Like, Kirk, I mean, it's been really tough. Kirk is not hitting. Kirk does not look like a Silver Slugger winner right now. And we all know that Jansen, with his pull power, can be a real difference maker at the plate. So, yeah, I think it's really important that Jansen stays healthy. First of all, just, you know, you need two catchers to get through 162 games in this league, and you know, you'd way rather have it be Danny Jansen than Brian Servin, even defensively. But the offense too, to go back to a theme that, you know, we're really talking about here, this is a team that just doesn't have a lot of bats clicking, and Danny Jansen can be one of those guys that on a per at-bat basis, he is a pretty scary hitter up there. He can do a lot of damage, and frankly, a lot more damage than Alejandro Kirk can. Now, Kirk can be still a useful offensive player. If he's your backup, you're thrilled with that. But Danny Jansen's the guy who can go out there and hit 20 homers. I still think he has that potential this season.
A bit of a two-parter here for you, Ben. Yuriel Rodriguez going to get the start today. What have you liked from him so far? What can we expect? Do we think maybe a little bit more of a higher pitch count? And can you give us a letter grade for the nickname Yay-Rod?
Oh, wow. Yay-Rod, I'm going to give that an F. I'm sorry.
Whoa! Really? Yeah.
Who made that up? Where did that come from?
I have no idea. I've never heard it before.
It's
in
a Matt
life.
Rose creation. You don't like Yay-Rod?
I'll give it an A for effort and creativity, but ultimately the execution, the landing. I'm sorry, guys. It's an F. You know, that's just all me. Right. That's just me. What does my opinion matter on this one? but yeah, as far as what I've liked from him, I liked it. It's his major league debut when he attacks. You know, he's pitched obviously two games so far. We've seen strikeouts. We've seen velo. We've seen good breaking balls. This is a guy who has a couple different fastballs, a couple different breaking balls. It's not easy to make that major league debut midseason and make all of the lifestyle and cultural adjustments that he's had to in the course of the last few months and then execute against the best hitters in the world, Tatis and Machado and Bogarts. So, you know, I've just been impressed that he has been able to go in there with conviction and throw those pitches for strikes and get results. I expect more of the same against the Royals. It should be a good matchup for him. It's a great park to pitch in. But I don't expect him to throw away more pitches. I think it was 83 last time against San Diego. I wouldn't expect that he goes more than 80, maybe 85 max today. I don't think he's going to have that full starter's workload.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, Blue Jays writer for Sportsnet. You hear him on the At the Letters podcast. Joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Do you have an Alek Manoah update for us, Ben? Because obviously he was a guy who was vying for that number five spot in the rotation. Some of his starts in the minors haven't been particularly good. Like, what's the latest on Alek Manoah?
Yeah, so he's slated to start in AAA possibly as soon as today or Thursday, tomorrow. That depends a little on weather in the Northeast. So we'll learn more today as far as what that timing looks like. But his plan is to continue getting some reps in. His last AAA start was pretty good, and he needs to show the Blue Jays a continuation of that. If he does, then they'll have a tough decision on their hands, and that's a good place to be in as a major league team. You always want to have tough decisions in your rotation as opposed to kind of scrambling and putting together bullpen days. So, you know, they're hoping that he can go out there, locate the slider, be in the zone, attack hitter, repeat his delivery, all those things that he's been trying to work at. But we got to keep in mind, too, this is just his fourth start in this minor league rehabilitation process. And if he was in spring training, you know, the fourth start of the season might happen March the 18th. Like, it's not quite to the point that it's like an automatic just bring him to the majors. But if he looks really good, then that conversation starts to shift, and they might have a tough decision to make.
Wanted to ask you about Chris Bassitt, because had a chance to sweep that series on the weekend there. Last season, his home and road splits were drastically different. We've seen kind of a little bit of a similar trend already this year. Now, granted, his first two starts of the year were on the road, and since then he's been much better. But do you see anything between the way he produces between home and between being on the road?
No, honestly, I don't. Maybe I need to look closer and look at some video or crunch the numbers a little bit more. But, you know, at this point, I just would chalk that up to it's a long season. Sometimes you'll see some wonky stuff in the numbers early on. You know, so have you guys seen anything? I personally just haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that that's, you know, a concern or something the Blue Jays need to watch going forward.
Yeah, not necessarily. It was more just kind of looking at some of the numbers and some of the trends from last season. I wonder about, you know, with so much going on, if there's a sense of being a little bit more comfortable at home that helps. But then again, with this most recent game, he also made sure to point out after the game that there was a sinus infection going through the team and everyone was a little banged up. So that was kind of where the genesis of it was, but was wondering where you were at on that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, it makes sense that to some extent guys are going to be more comfortable at home. You know, hitters usually have better numbers at home, slightly better numbers at home. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if we look up end of the year and it's like a 3.6 at home and a 3.8 on the road, something like that. But I think broadly I've seen him be really effective on the road enough times that I'm not chalking that up as like a major concern at this point.
Who's the best team in the American League right now, Ben?
Well, I know the Guardians have a great record, but I think it's the Yankees or the Orioles. I'll go Yankees. You know, I don't want to sit on the fence here. I mean, the Yankees are, and part of this comes down to Judge's health, but, and Gerrit Cole now throwing and potentially getting off a mound pretty soon. We've seen Luis Gil really step up this year. You got Schmidt and Rodon doing pretty well, Stroman. And just, you know, Juan Soto, right? Like, let's not overcomplicate this. Juan Soto's just an elite hitter, having an amazing season, perfect Yankees acquisition. You know, you've got Stanton, who's in good shape and doing some good things there. So it's a really good team. You know, Volpe's made some good adjustments. I think the Yankees are the best team. I mean, there's some competition. It's a tough league. Jay is obviously playing a tough division. We talk about that all the time, but I'd say it's New York.
Yeah, Juan Soto is going to get paid too. Like, he is already off to a great start. Is he going to stay there? Like, is he destined to stay a Yankee?
I think he is. Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the Yankees are pretty good at retaining free agents, even guys who hit the open market, right? They let Judge get to free agency. You know, he talks to the Giants, but ends up going to the Yankees. Even with A-Rod, when A-Rod opted out, ends up re-signing with the Yankees, like, they can spend. Soto's an elite player. I think it's a good combination. I expect, yeah, they're the favorites to re-sign them, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's no good for Blue Jay fans if Juan Soto's going to be terrorizing this division for years to come, not to mention all those great young bats that the Baltimore Orioles have. But, yeah, okay. It's depressing, Ben. I'm not going to lie. The Blue Jays are The Blue Jays are supposed to be that team, the window with Vlad and Bo and Kevin Biggio, and this is the team that's going to win world championships. And now you're like, I'll probably win a playoff, probably be a playoff team, but who knows? Just get into the playoffs and their starting pitching might carry them. But when it comes to superstar talent, the Blue Jays are just lacking just a little bit. Ben, always great stuff. Thanks, pal.
You got it, guys. My pleasure, and talk again soon.
There is Ben Nicholson-Smith, Blue Jays writer for Sportsnet. You hear him on the At the Letters podcast. Yeah, Juan Soto's going to stay Yankee. Great.
I mean, he'll have a lot. Like, again, I don't know. I won't say a lot because how many teams are going to be able to spend him? Like, what, he wants $500 million? He wants $500 million probably?
Blue Jays can sign him if they want.
Jays will be one of the teams. The Braves could be one of those teams. I know they got a ton of payroll.
You think the Braves?
They've got money.
Acuna and him?
Well, the thing is with the Braves, I have that prediction on the whiteboard that Mike Trout's going to be a Brave here before August.
Oh, wow, yes.
So that's probably going to deplete a lot of like what they can do payroll-wise.
He hit leadoff last night for the first time since 2012. Guess what?
Hit a home run?
Hit his first home run from the leadoff spot since 2012.
Shocker.
Yeah, but obviously.
Angels lost 8-3.
Yeah, because that's what they do. He's really good and they lose.
It'd be silly not to think that the Dodgers would be involved in a Juan Soto-type free agency acquisition just because they are the LA Dodgers. And I don't know if Juan Soto could take a Shohei contract. Like, yeah, just defer me and pay me in 20 years or whatever. But no, there will be some teams that have the money. But I think he's going to love it in New York. Why wouldn't he? You got the short porch. You got the best, the best baseball market in Major League Baseball, one of them. Man, and they can spend. And it would be the first time I wouldn't say the first time since Hal's passed away, but, they spent on Giancarlo Stanton. Maybe that hadn't worked the way they wanted it to be because he's been hurt so much. They had to pay Aaron Judge a little bit. But, I think it'd be scary if Juan Soto sticks around there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Toronto should definitely try. If they try for Shohei, they should try for Juan Soto.
Why not? Bring that guy to Toronto.
Just upset the fans more.
He's just incredible. Or the Yankees or Juan Soto's representation can use the Blue Jays as leverage.
And they're going to get Garrett Cole back here in a few weeks too.
Yeah,
which is going to be super scary.
That sucks. Straight ahead, the Chronalist is going to be in studio, Mr. Brent Cron. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup playoff action from last night, and we'll unleash our text topic for your chance to win Arkell's tickets for November down at Scotiabank Saddledome. You can win them before you can buy them right here. Friday they go on sale, 10 o'clock Mountain, but you can win them this morning at around like 8:30. We'll do that. And our lock of the day, because I threw the old juju on the Vancouver Canucks taking Predators money line last night. I didn't even know, but I cursed them.
Did you know Demko was going to be out at the time?
No, I didn't.
I think we had, that was later in the day.
That happened after our show.
I didn't even bring up Thatcher Demko up with Jamie Dodd. I didn't even think otherwise. It came around around noon, I think, dropped.
And I think it was Farhan Lalji who I saw the tweet from, but it was terrible video quality. But a lot of people think it happened in the very final minute of the game.
Oh, boy.
Like right after Dakota Joshua had put the puck in the empty net. There was like a sharp angle shot from the corner and he took a really long time to get up.
Mm-hmm.
So that would also make sense as to why everything was really quiet after the game, because everyone was so just taken away by that atmosphere and everything else that probably didn't even realize it, or just, maybe he's tired. It's the end of the game. And then you just kind of go throughout everything and then, he's not here at morning skate. All of a sudden the hornet's nest is alive and off we go. I just wonder about like a couple of teams that have dealt with some kind of injury stuff in games and had a hard time adapting, but how you kind of flush that and move to the next game is always important. Like I think of the Canucks who have dealt with this Demko thing, and I also think about the Stars who did not look themselves when they had to play Mark Stone, which was a relative kind of a bit of a surprise.
The Chronalist has walked in the studio. We'll talk to Brent Cron next. Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.